This is the Patriot AM 1150, an iHeart radio station.
Oh yeah, sing Bo. Southern California Live with Wendell.
Build my house and make it go to you.
AM 1150, yeah.
Can I see you sometime?
The reason we're playing the Bo Diddley song.
We can throw kisses through the blind.
Cause we got Mona on with us.
Hey, you come out in the fun.
Hey, Mona.
Hello. Mona's
got to grab her mic there. Joining us for the next half hour. On the Patriot, I'm Johnny Wendell. Southern California Live with me is comedian, genius linguist.
Oh, goodness.
Producer of the Minority Reports comedy show, Ms. Mona Shake.
Hello, hello.
Okay. Mona, you were here, what, 6 months ago, 7 months ago? Maybe longer than that?
Yeah, probably longer than that.
Okay. So we haven't spoken since then. You, Let's talk about your upcoming appearances in Southern California.
Let's just get to it.
Let's get right to it. Mona is a brilliant comedian, and you're going to want to go see her at where?
So I just want the listeners to know I've been paying Johnny off in empanadas.
in pinatas is what she means, and I'm still blindfolded and swinging at them as we speak.
Well, the empanadas is in the pinatas, so glad you can locate them.
Well, hopefully they haven't been cooked, so I'm not just sending out hot cheese and salsa over a bunch of terrified children.
Nothing,
but okay.
Nothing wrong with that. Kids need to learn a lesson once in a while.
They do, you know.
It's totally fine. First of all, thank you for having me back.
Sure.
Super excited.
Pleasure.
Lot of good stuff. Lot of great stuff happened in the past 6 months. Upcoming stuff is, my Minority Reports show went from being a monthly show to a weekly show.
And where is this?
So this is in Irvine that I do this.
And what's the venue?
It's called Caspian Restaurant. It's this massive, beautiful Mediterranean restaurant. And
yes.
We have our show next week on Wednesday, January 30th, and we are already sold out. We're already at capacity. It's 200, and it's sold out.
Okay, so in other words, if somebody really, boy, that sounds great, they're gonna have to wait till February.
They don't actually, because it's a weekly show, right?
So it's not monthly anymore.
So
okay.
It's not monthly anymore. Right. So the beautiful thing is that we have a handful of tickets left for the Wednesday, January 30th show that I'm super excited about, 7 p.m.
Okay, where exactly is the Caspian Restaurant in Irvine, California, which is in Orange County?
Which is. It's at 14100 Culver Drive. I like how specific you are about this.
I want people to know where to find you.
Well,
yes.
They can also go on the website at minorityreportswithaz.com and see all the details there.
With a Z, not a G-H.
Not a G-H.
Okay. That's a terrible inside joke that only the staff here understands, but that's quite all right.
That's fine. I'll just hang around after a while to catch up.
You'll just stay for the next 2 hours until you hear the joke. You go, that's what he meant.
I'm a comic. I don't have a life. It's fine.
Sure. You know, and we're a wellspring of good material in here. We really are. The three of us are dysfunctionality personified.
Yeah. Well, right before the show started, I heard somebody comment about your socks. So I feel there's a lot of love floating in the air here.
And the mist of blood as people's jaws get broken. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
It feels like I'm in Pakistan again. That's great.
You are from Pakistan, correct?
I sure am.
Were you born there?
I was born and partially raised there. I moved when I was 15 years old.
What are your memories of Pakistan?
Oh, goodness. Wow. Are you going to call my therapist after this or because I'm going to need it?
No, I'm making a world music album called Memories of Pakistan. I'm just trying to get some ideas.
Oh, is that what it is? Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. I'm glad I could provide you material for that.
Sure. It's with a Z, not a G-H.
With a C. Oh, so, okay. Yeah. You want to hear one of my memories is I grew up under a dictatorship.
Okay.
So, this was the 80s when I was growing up. I would see tanks roll up outside, like by you know, major intersections.
What city were you? Did you grow up in Pakistan?
I grew up in Karachi, which is southern city. So I'm from my south.
Which is the capital of Pakistan?
No, it is not. Oh, Islamabad. But that's okay, Johnny. Islamabad is the capital.
Okay.
Yes.
Because when I was a child, I believe Karachi was
that is correct. But then they moved it to Islamabad because it's inland.
Ah, okay.
Because of safety reasons.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah. So that's the only thing they thought through. Nothing else was thought through after that. They were just like, we will stop thinking from this point on.
So your mom and dad decided when Mona was 15, we got to get Mona out of Dodge.
Well, you know, our story is very unlike any immigrant story. My family, the reason we came to the U.S. is because I have four older brothers, and two of my brothers were given expired vaccination for polio, and they got polio because of it in the 70s.
Okay.
So there was no treatment for my brothers. So my mom would write letters to hospitals around the world, and Shriners Hospital in Lexington, Kentucky responded, and they said, we'll treat your kids for free. And that's how we started coming to the U.S.
So the first place you lived in America was in Lexington, Kentucky?
I did not. My family, my brothers and my mom did. Because I didn't move until much later.
Ah, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I didn't arrive, you know, much, much later.
Okay. And your memories of Pakistan are of the military and of oppression.
Military oppression. Definitely had a lot of fun, you know, hanging out, you know, beating up boys in school. That was a lot of fun.
Sure.
You know, I was a tomboy, grew up with four older brothers. Can't blame me.
So you're tough.
You know, so they tell me.
Yeah.
So they tell me. You know, just also just aggression, a lot of just anger issues that I was going through as a child. Now known as road rage.
Oh, I see.
It's great. It's great, yeah. Now you just take it out on other people. It's fantastic.
You have to keep your middle finger taped down.
I don't do that.
No.
Yeah, I'm in the land of the free.
You just let your free bird fly.
I just let my free bird fly for sure.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm in the land of the free for sure.
Okay.
But yeah, that's one of my memories. But, you know, I've had some fond memories growing up in Pakistan with my... at my grandmother's house. That was a lot of fun. We used to. So there's this thing in Pakistan called load shedding. Have you heard of this? Do you know what this is?
Nope, don't
know. So load shedding is, this happens in developing countries.
Yes.
What they would do is basically, because there's not enough electricity to generate the entire city, they would shut part of the city down. For like, it could be gone for 5 minutes, could be gone for 5 hours, could be gone for 5 days. You don't know.
Load shedding.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
So they shed the load.
They shed the load,
load
of the electricity.
Right, which is what I do when I go to the gym. So it's, but mine's a little different.
Okay, I understand that.
Yeah, there's also different forms of load shedding, but I'm not going to get into that. Because
the FCC is
got it. Yeah, FCC will be knocking at my door.
Yeah, mine,
Homeland Security. Well, Homeland Security is going to be hitting up mine, so let's just not do that.
Okay, no load shedding.
Load shedding. So what would happen sometimes is that I would go to my grandmother's house, and she had like this open roof, and we would fill up balloons with water. And because it would be so dark in the street, as people would pass by, we would drop balloons on people.
That's a great Pakistani tradition.
I have a dark soul. No, that's not, it's not a Pakistani tradition. It's just a Mona tradition.
Oh, I see.
If you're feeling ruined inside, let's ruin other people too.
Okay.
That kind of thing.
That'll be $75.
That would be $75.
Well, that was therapeutic,
I'm charging you for it.
Oh,
okay.
So now what we're doing is dough shedding. You're giving me your money.
You can charge it to my Obamacare.
I do.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That was a good one. Okay. So, all right. So, there's still tickets to the 30th in Irvine on 14100 Culver Boulevard. Am I correct?
Yes. In addition to that, you know, that's just one of the shows. I also have a show coming up that I'm on called Women Crush Wednesdays at Hollywood Improv on February 6th.
Where's this exactly?
That is at the Hollywood Improv on Melrose Avenue, the very famous Hollywood Improv.
Yeah. Phil, didn't one of our producers was the lighting guy at that place at the Hollywood Improv on Melrose?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aris.
Aris was, right? Yeah. Aris, who does lights there.
I know Aris. We go way back.
Aris was...
I don't know who Aris is. I have no idea.
Oh, there you go.
I have no
there you go.
Clue
I see.
Okay. who Aris is.
Aris was sitting in the very chair you were in, but he got married, so he's not producing radio.
Getting married after this. Okay.
Yes.
All right. I knew I came here for a reason.
Yeah, you're in the marriage
Woo!
Chair.
Yeah, baby. Bring on the rings.
Juwan to your left. That's your spouse.
All right, Juwan. Hey, well, okay. All right. Listen, I, yeah, you know.
He's all right.
I'm down for the melanin.
There
it's fine. It's fine. You know, I need some black up in my life. Like, come on.
It's true. You know, the two of you together will have the next Kamala Harris. Anyway.
Oh, yes. Kamala is the hot. She's amazing.
What do you think of her great big rally in Oakland today?
First of all, I just want to start by saying how much I absolutely love and adore this woman.
You like Kamala Harris.
I like Kamala a lot. I think she's brilliant. You know, the fact that she came out and said that, you know, about reinstating the values of this country to what it was, to what it had was and how it's been damaged by the current administration. Like, yeah, that's what I want to hear from a leader.
Yeah, but understand this. Okay, I can't. In Pakistan, what do they call the devil?
Men.
Okay.
Men. Just men.
Right, let me be men's advocate here.
Oh, okay.
every Democrat who's going to run is going to run on Trump has wrecked America and I'm going to save it. Okay. So this is the spiel.
Yeah.
That's Yiddish. Okay. This is the spiel.
I grew up in New York. I know what that
okay.
is.
Okay. Yeah. This is the line of reasoning, mm-hmm. as they would say in Pakistan, you know,
yeah.
with a Z, that they're going to use.
Lines.
They're going to say, look, Trump's destroyed the country. Nobody believes anything anybody says anymore. We've mm-hmm. got to end all of the distrust. She's using a very, very effective line on the Democratic Party base. It is true.
Yes.
Okay, the loathing of Trump among Democrats is astronomically high. You would agree to that?
Just a little bit.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
Just a tad bit.
Okay, so these are winners.
Tiny.
Kamala Harris is going to have to deal with the fact that a lot of the Democratic Party base is suspicious of prosecutors, which is what she was.
Yeah.
Her relationship with Steven Mnuchin.
Yep.
Okay. And other things.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
The dude who was flying out and spending hundreds of thousands of dollars flying out to Paris for his honeymoon.
Right. And yeah. also her thing with the former mayor of San Francisco, the scurrilous Willie Brown.
Mm-mm. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, so. I saw her on telly, and she was reasonably okay about this stuff. But what I was reminded of when I was watching Kamala Harris was, given the Trump phenomenon, what we now know about electing presidents is people vote on a gut thing. So I ask you, your gut sense on Senator Harris is what? If you were going to articulate it.
I'm going to have to little bit disagree with you about the gut factor.
I think that's what elected Trump.
I don't think that is what elected Trump.
Oh, I do.
I think Trump understood the psychology of the people and his target audience. He understood what they wanted to hear, and he let them hear
that's,
it.
That's a gut instinct, yes. Thank you for agreeing with
but me. That's not gut. That's somebody that's somebody pandering to your ideals.
No, it's somebody who understands how you feel about things and articulates them. Okay, that's what I mean, is when you see Kamala Harris or you see any politician,
mm-hmm.
your initial impression of them is the one that is most likely to shade how you feel about them. That's true, wouldn't you say?
I feel like definitely. Okay, so it definitely has an impression on you. Of course, you do have a feeling about it, but then I'm the kind of person, I can only speak for myself, is that I like to do my due diligence. I do want to know where you stand on things.
You're not a low information voter.
I'm not a low information voter. I mean, for the midterms, I was literally researching candidates for like 4 or 5 days before I even voted.
Who's your congressperson?
That's a good question.
Wait a minute. No. You're not going to join those two. Don't look it up. That's
cheating.
What are
you talking about?
You're as bad as a place of music, Phil. I'm totally humiliated here.
I feel so much better. Yeah.
So do I.
Of course I know who my congressperson is.
Stop looking at your iPhone.
Why are you talking about it? It's not even an iPhone.
If I snatched that thing away from you, you'd have no idea what it was.
I of course would. Oh, my God. I take offense to this right now. Are you
referring to
Dianne Feinstein? What are you talking about?
She's a senator. You lose. Southern California Live with Wendell. And a third person who doesn't know their congressman.
AM 1150.
Southern California Live with Wendell on the Patriot, KEAB AM 1150. We have Mona Shaikh with us, comedienne extraordinaire, who's trying not to laugh at me here. She's apparently, Mona and I found out that we are represented by the same U.S. Congressman, Adam Schiff, who is well known as being the chair of the House Intelligence Committee. Yeah. At any rate, Adam is going to be making life rather difficult for the President of the United States for the next 2 years. Also, Mona found out something that I did know about our representative, which, like myself, he is from the western suburbs of Boston. So
Framingham.
From Framingham, not Farmingham, which is what she told me during the break.
I just wanted to test you.
No, that wasn't it.
I just wanted to know if you were like on top of it.
No, you were testing the physical might of my two coworkers who had to restrain me. Farmingham. Do you understand that in Massachusetts, if you called that Farmingham, you would have been airmailed through that great big glass window?
What makes you think I haven't been airmailed here?
That's how you got here from Pakistan.
That's how I got here from Pakistan. Yeah, they were like, get out of here.
Yeah, they put you in a gigantic catapult and
fired. They were like, get out of here. They're like, who's the president of Pakistan? I was like, I don't. I don't know. I was like, Mickey Mouse? And they were like, get out of here.
Benzedrine Bhutto? No, that isn't it. That was a good one, wasn't
it? It's Benazir Bhutto.
Yes,
I know.
That was
a
joke. Yeah. See, that was really bad.
Did you hear she was blown away?
Yeah.
When she went to Pakistan.
That's right.
That's a terrible joke. She was.
She was murdered.
She was murdered. Yeah, they blew her car up. First, they shot her in the head and the back and then blew her car up. Lovely stories. Very positive, empowering stories about women coming out of Pakistan.
Okay, so you have gigs coming up at Hollywood Improv and in Irvine.
Yes.
What else are you doing?
Tomorrow night, I'm walking my first official red carpet.
Woo! Where's this?
Woo-wee. It's getting crazy up in here. Ovation Awards.
Cool.
Super excited.
Where is this?
This is at the Ace Hotel tomorrow night.
And where is that?
Downtown Los Angeles on Wilshire.
Okay. Yeah. Pretty exciting.
Very exciting.
What are you going to be doing?
Just doing the best I can.
Okay. Yeah. I like that. You know, on the vagometer, you got a 9.5 on
that. Thank you. Oh, okay. Thanks.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you'll get to a 10
Are
eventually.
You hanging out with my parents? What's happening? What's happening? You're scoring.
Via Juwan, they're texting, ask her this, ask her that. You know? your parents are here. They're not in Pakistan.
Well, my dad passed away.
Okay.
Quite a number of years ago. But yeah, my mom's here.
Okay.
She's in Texas.
She's in Texas.
Yes, she is.
Okay. And because we got a split. You got about 25 seconds. What's mom think of Beto?
Beto? Mom doesn't think, mom is not very politically educated about stuff like that.
Okay, so she
I love Beto.
You like Beto.
Beto, Beto a lot.
So a Beto-Kamala ticket with either of them as vice president and president in sort of a sharing kind of way would be okay with you?
Yeah, I'd be totally down for that, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mona, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for
us.
Having me. This was lovely.
Mona Shaikh, everybody.
Thank you.
Look her up on the net. We'll be back. This is Wendell.
I don't think so. Had a mistress that he loved to straddle.
People who are able to build wealth when making financial decisions ask themselves, how's this going to affect me 10 years from now, 20 years from now? People who are broke and stay broke say, thank God it's Friday, oh God it's Monday. They make very short-term, impulsive, immature decisions.
The Dave Ramsey Show, tomorrow at 3 on The Patriot, AM 1150.
Southern California Live with Wendell, 7:36. Johnny Venom is going to join us. Mona's going to hang out. So the three of us together will be tackling very various subjects. Johnny, how are you, sir?
For the record, I wish I didn't know my congressman.
Oh, your congressman is Paul Gosar, correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
The dentist that can figure out facial tics or whatever for poker games. I don't know.
Yeah, no, he's quite a character, Mr. Gosar, Dr. Gosar, Dentist Gosar is. Before we begin, John, you're being joined by this phenomenal comedian, friend of ours, Mona Shakes. She's been nice enough to hang out.
Hello, you're very kind for having me. Hello, Johnny.
Hello, hello.
Okay, hello, hello. Sop with Camel, 1966. It's good that we're all together here. Mona, Johnny, however, is somewhat in mourning because he lives in Payson, Arizona, and one of Payson's great characters has passed on.
Oh, I'm so sorry, dear.
Johnny, would you like to explain? Because this has been going on our show for almost a year now. So let's pay homage to the man himself.
I want to preface this with the fact that it's a rumor still.
It's still a rumor. We don't know.
Yes. Okay. Yogi, the name that we've given this bear.
Right, Yogi the bear.
Bro, has brought down the cable and the telephone system in my town numerous times and has been a bane to the local utility companies. May have expired. It was rumored to have been found deceased. And actually, there's an addition to this, since you and I last talked, and it's we may have a serial killer or an animal serial killer in our hands in their area.
Really? Who did in Yogi, among others?
Well, we don't know if it's connected. Because you remember, rumor was he was shot, and then I told you he was stabbed. But now they're finding all across the valley mutilated horses,
horses that
have been shot. And others where their eyes and their ears have been gouged out.
Oh, my goodness. Is it Eric Trump?
No. No, because you'd see him up on Instagram kneeling with a big smile on his face.
No, but the joke could be Ted Nugent, because he has been known to be in his parts.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the Nuge does do a little bit of hunting in Johnny's
neck
of
the woods. Be illegal to him to do these mares, because they are protected.
Right.
And some of them are on ranches. So, I mean, and again, if he did do in the bear,
right.
I believe Mona, our town is surrounded by two Native American tribes.
Right. The Hopis and the Cochise, right?
Right. I believe so, or the Apache. I'm always getting them mixed up, so I do apologize. I'm new to the town.
Okay.
I'm originally from Chicago.
Right. So he's used to massacres.
Right.
So, yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah. Okay.
Where's the drums?
But here's the thing: if it was a hunter, they could be in trouble because this looks like it happened on tribal land.
Ooh. Oof. That's some bad juju there to boot.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, but again, the horse thing's been verified.
Okay.
We know that.
So there's a serial equine massacre going on.
Right.
Okay.
That's correct. And so, but again, I don't want to spark, you know, all this, you know, any fake news here.
Right.
But, you know, until I see.
That's my job.
You know, until we see the carcass of the bear on my local paper or something like that, I'm going to rule that he's still alive.
Okay. So the rumors of Yogi's death have been greatly exaggerated.
Right.
Okay.
Until I see news actual, because like I said, so far, only one person from one of the tribes who worked at the pancake house told us this. So
let me give Mona some background. Sometimes on Sunday nights, Johnny is unable to call in because he's in Payson, Arizona, which is rural. He had to move there for health reasons and for family reasons.
Okay.
And the next day he will say, my Wi-Fi was down because this bear apparently loves to get up on the wires and rip them down.
And
of course the locals have named him Yogi because that's what you name bears. And apparently
I would name him unbearable.
Right.
But
he is unbearable.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah. Well, Mona.
Yeah.
He's essentially doing the internet version of that load shedding.
He is doing the internet.
He's the internet load shedder, but he's a bear. Yeah.
He's a physical load shedder.
Right.
That's what he's doing.
Yeah.
Because our cable company is stupid enough. They're too cheap to put in proper wiring. You know, normal cable company.
Or in the ground.
On the ground, no.
Where Yogi can't get to it.
That's crazy to me in America.
Yeah, well,
that's
crazy. I know, but it's happened.
Yeah.
Okay, lady and gentlemen, let us move on to the topic at hand.
Okay.
A little-known Canadian company has just unlocked what some experts think could be the key to profiting off the coming marijuana boom. It's coming to the tune of an estimated
$50 billion. Okay, the Motley Fool, who Johnny and I follow, being economics junkies and stuff, is talking about this subject. Johnny, lay it on us. What do they mean?
Well, I didn't get to that part because Juwan sent me the article 8 minutes ago.
Oh.
But wow.
Doesn't know who his
great
congressman name, is, doesn't
Ooh.
Know who our guests are.
He got thrown under the bus right now.
The wheels on the bus are crushing his head.
Can you turn the AC up? It's getting hot in here. Oof, it's hot in here.
Mona, I want to warn you, he likes Pizza Hut, so he's not, you may have to discount him.
Are you talking about Johnny liking Pizza Hut? Or
No, Juwan.
Save me, Mona. You don't like Pizza Hut either?
Man, there's nothing wrong. It's better than Domino's.
I'll take it, definitely.
Juwan is a former Domino's employee.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So. It's bad blood. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Mad, I'm telling you, Juwan.
That's some Taylor Swift stuff you got going on there, right?
Okay, so here.
But anyways, here's the thing.
Above and beyond all this, let's go to the general. If we don't want to go to the minutiae of this issue, we'll go to the general.
No, but here, let me just touch on this Canadian thing for 1 second.
Okay.
I want to urge you listeners to be very careful, because no matter which pot stock you decide to invest in or trade in, they're very volatile right now. They're like internet stocks were in 1991 or 1994.
No, 1999 is when the tech boom, when the dot-com boom was.
Well, I know, but I'm counting in stuff that was like infrastructure, like Brocade and all these other ones.
Okay, but I'm thinking of pets.com and stuff like
all
that.
All right, well, okay, fine, in 1999.
Okay.
The thing is, you got to be careful. There's an ETF, I can't think of the name, and I'm not going to recommend it because for legal reasons for your show, that
I know you can't.
You should look. You know, you should look into instead. That way you can buy a slew of them in one shot.
Explain what an ETF is.
An ETF is an exchange-traded fund. It's sort of like a mutual fund, but without the fees normally associated. And it's way more liquid. It trades like a stock, and it's a basket of stocks.
Okay, so there is a marijuana-based ETF.
I believe there's more than one.
Okay.
Okay, and so I would look into that instead.
That's quite a bag of weed.
Wow.
Yeah.
There you go.
Guess where all my shoe money's going now.
Wow. Bong, bong. Well,
no more Manolos for me. Okay.
But I'm just saying, be careful right now. It's too volatile. And you don't, until the federales legalize it.
Okay.
Okay. And whatever new technology any startup comes up with, you have to be careful because the big boys are waiting. And I'm talking about companies like Philip Morris, the people that sold you cigarettes.
Like R.J. Reynolds.
Right. And you
like Amazon. They're going to own everything fairly soon anyway.
Right.
You know, and so I'm just saying I would wait it out.
Okay. When you talk about this, this has to be, Mona, a lot of people don't understand that marijuana is legal recreationally in the state of California.
That's correct.
Okay, it's been legalized by referendum, but it's not really legal in California at the same time because it is still federally illegal. Johnny, up until those two things are reconciled, that means that the great banks of America are going to have trouble with cannabis cash, correct?
Not only that.
Okay.
But a Canadian firm, a foreign firm, could, in theory, run into issues if they're dealing with American customers or companies.
Right. And this is a Canadian company that we're talking about.
Right.
Okay, let me run this by you and then by Mona, okay? Why wouldn't the marijuana companies, by the way, this is going to be a $50 billion a year business within the next 10 years. That's big business.
That's a lot of pizza.
Yeah, that's a lot of munchies.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a lot of psychedelia. All right. Johnny, what would stop them from deciding, okay, if we can't trade in the coin of the realm, we'll go into cryptocurrency only? What would stop them from doing that?
Nothing's stopping them now.
Okay.
Right.
But the problem is this cryptocurrency in itself is volatile.
That's correct.
I mean, if you were to purchase any amount of cryptocurrency, let's say Bitcoin, back a year ago, you would have lost probably 2/3 of the value of what you're holding. You know, and not only that, it's very easy to lose your Bitcoin. If there's just been too many problems. You're a Canadian company.
I have a question for you. And this is go to Mona, too.
I lost some money in Bitcoin.
Okay, good, because you're perfect then.
I don't, no, not because I'm a sadist or any, or I'm laughing.
That's all right, Johnny. It's been established already.
Okay, yeah. What, that I'm a sadist?
I didn't say that.
Okay. All right, so.
She was involved in financial load shedding.
Right, financial load shedding. You know, she was taken to the financial load shed.
I love
shed.
The fact you guys are running with the load shedding.
Yeah, I know. Well,
it has so much meaning. I love it. So, no, I love
such
it.
A, it's such a great sounding
it's
thing.
It's a great sounding thing. You're absolutely right.
Although, I mean, although when you think about it, it sort of sounds like the name of a Metallica record.
Yeah, it also sounds like something you were in a bad relationship and you're like, what happened? I load shedded. That's what happened.
She took me to the load shed. Anyway. Yeah. Question. Okay, see, yes. Mona being much younger and hipper and smarter than me.
Oh.
Okay, yes, it's true. Okay.
I just have more hair than you, maybe that's why. But thank you, though, you're very kind.
Yeah, and thank you for reminding me of what I used to have. I really appreciate that. I'm not telling you any more stories about when I was 23, when I had hair.
I love those stories.
And, you know, and girlfriends who would do just about anything. That being said... Johnny, you really should have been. Oh, ooh. No, actually, Johnny owns the book that the story was in, so he knows it. Anyway, so what am I saying? Oh, Bitcoin.
Yes.
Okay. Johnny, is there a few, Mona, let me ask you something. The idea of Bitcoin being new,
yeah,
and something that it's like, okay, there's a new thing, and Juwan can weigh in on this as well. Does that sort of give it more of a cachet of excitement than like, I don't want to buy mutual funds or buy hedge funds or put my money in savings? This Bitcoin thing is exciting. I'll try it.
I feel like I'll tell you my reason was getting involved in it was sure. I had watched this amazing documentary on Netflix about cryptocurrency.
Okay.
And it really got me excited. Okay. And I was like, all right. So what they're doing is they're basically building out a brand new system.
Right.
Right, which is going to be parallel to our current currency system.
Right.
And, you know, the way we operate, you know, the way we deal with money now.
Sure.
And I was like, all right, this seems like an exciting, you know, new world of it's not regulated the way our current, you know, you don't have the level of regulations. The government sure. doesn't have its hand in it.
Right.
This is, you know, so this is just from, you know, you put your money. This is dealing just directly with the person who, you know, the okay. entity that's holding your money. And I was sure. like, oh, that excites me.
All right.
But until it gets the blessing of the government, unless it gets the blessing of the big people, I don't know if it can exist
its volatility is going to exist.
Right. And because it also has the whole thing about, you know, the dark world money, you
right.
know, people putting out hits for and, you know, buying all kinds of crazy drugs, people, you know, buying all kinds of crazy weapons. So that is an open thing too.
Not like they ever did that with real money, right?
No, of course not.
Okay, Phil is giving us the cut sign. Guys, let's remember what we are talking about here, which is not necessarily the easiest thing in the world. Southern California Live with Wendell, 750. Stay tuned. Southern California Live with Wendell at 756 with Johnny Venom and Mona Shake joining us. We were talking about Bitcoin. We were talking about marijuana being a $50 billion business. Johnny, you got to figure, if marijuana is a $50 billion business in the United States and California is one-eighth of the American economy, that is a significant business in this state that can pay a lot of taxes, that can do a lot of good for a lot of people. Is this true?
You could be more than one-eighth in terms of the marijuana market.
Okay.
You could be, for example, South Korea is a fraction of the population of China, yet or even Asia or the U.S., yet it dominates in memory and various silicon chips are like 90% of the market.
Ah, okay. This I did not know. Mona, yeah. Are you aware? Mona, when you're a comedian and you tour, you play comedy clubs all over everywhere, correct? You got to turn your mic on, honey.
Is my mic not on?
Now it is.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's been on. No, sorry.
Okay. No, it was off.
Okay.
Okay, so you never play anywhere because you don't know how to turn on a mic. No, okay.
I just mimed the whole jokes.
Yeah, so I have Marcel Marceau to my left.
Marcel
here.
Marceau, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay. That was pretty inside, you got to admit.
Yeah.
The joke shouldn't be inside anything.
It was brilliant.
Yeah, it was awful. Anyway, you know where Desert Hot Springs is?
Yes.
Okay. The town of Desert Hot Springs, Johnny, you're aware of this, by the way, because we've talked about this, has been saved by legal weed.
Oh.
It's becoming Desert Hot Springs' big industry. Desert Hot Springs is destroyed by meth, okay, destroyed by cuts in government funding. Also, it was heavily reliant on the federal government for water subsidies and stuff. Now it's become like the pot capital of the Coachella Valley, and it's booming. You know, we got friends in Desert Hot Springs. Their homes weren't worth bupkis. They're now ahead. You know,
they should rename the town. They should rename the town to Desert High Springs.
That's right, Desert High Springs.
I like it. I mean, look, it's preserved Snoop Dogg for all these years. While it could revive a town. I mean,
that's true. You know, drop him like he's stoned. Anyway, Juwan, scale of 1 to 10, improvised. How was that?
That was a 7. All right. Solid 7.
That was a 7.
Solid though, really solid. Yeah.
If you weren't working for me, 4.5. Okay, so. The 4.5 to a 7 joke is percolating in my brain somewhere, but I'll let the woman have that one. Anyway, so, guys.
4 out of 20.
All right. We are almost out of time. my atheism just disappeared.
It's the puns.
Yeah, there we go. You know, I've been a pun rocker my whole life.
Yeah.
Johnny, question for you.
Yes.
Weed become John Boehner, big lobbyist for weed. Weed becomes legal. Trump signs it into law. What happens?
He ends up in a Snoop Dogg album.
Everybody wants to be. Everybody wants to be a comedian here. Okay.
Okay.
I asked you a question. Answer.
You can load shed that one. Actually.
Yeah, that joke should be load shedded. That should be shot out of a shotgun. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm okay. If it becomes legal, everything changes.
There. Oh, wow. There's a statement without equivocation. Thank you, Johnny. We will talk to you next week.
Thanks, Johnny. Nice chatting with you.
Next week, when the Patriots win the Super Bowl. Southern California Live with Wendell. We shall return.
Johnny just wants to own those candles.
This is the Patriot AM 1150, an iHeartRadio station.
Southern California Live with Wendell. Mona has decided to join us, and it appears, although I cannot tell, that Tawala and Mo are on their way in. We're having a party. We're having a pre-Super Bowl party.
I love all of it. Ooh,
oh, look who's
la
here.
La.
We have Tawala.
Tawala the man.
Donde está Mo Tawala?
He has gone now. That's why he pre-recorded.
Ah, I see. Okay, so Tawala is Mo's representative.
Oh, we're not good enough for him? Okay.
No, look, no.
He didn't know. He didn't know. Tawala Sharp joins us.
If he would have known, like.
This is unbelievable. It's like I have no control over my own show here. I've been usurped. I'm the third wheel here. I'm useless. I'm baggage.
I mean, look, you got Mona in here. What's happening?
I'm flotsam. I'm jetsam.
I would never take over. Johnny.
Okay, so Tawala used to produce the Mo Kelly show, and he's decided, out of the kindness of his heart, to let us know what the Mo Kelly show was up to earlier this evening.
Of course, we had to start with the caving of the stone wall.
Oh, so the stone has caved. Mona,
yes.
Are you aware of this?
I do not know what is.
Tawala, go ahead.
Roger Stone within the blink of an eye.
Within a day. Yes.
From his defiant, I will never turn on my brother Trump. Trump has got my back after the FBI.
That was Friday.
Raided his home
that
on
was
Friday,
Friday.
And he's just on the courtroom's
on the circuit.
Steps, you know, in Florida. I will never turn evidence against Trump.
You got a child. You got to make the. You got to make the.
Oh, yeah.
Nixon
oh, that
thing.
Part.
I am not guilty of anything.
That's
I am not a crook. To which, of course, the Nixon family said, "Do not ever include us in anything you're doing."
Right.
I
Nixon.
Love that
Nixon.
Part.
Nixon Foundation said, "Work for us. You were an intern.
Yeah.
You used to fetch cafefe for us." Okay.
This
go ahead.
Morning, yeah. Of course, after I guess his lawyers have talked to him, he's come out with a much more humble tone of, "You know, look, I'm willing to talk to anyone who has anything to say to me."
Mona.
At all,
I will
talk to your child if your child wants to know anything about politics.
I did
he
read about
totally
that actually. I apologize
script.
When you said the wall. I didn't know. I guess he's going to be building a wall of lawyers, huh?
Yes. He's got to. I love it. Oh, I love it.
No, he has.
Does he looks like a terrible Muppet? Doesn't he?
Yeah, he does look.
That
like,
seems
he,
to be the going consensus.
Either that or you've seen him in his top hat at the inaugural, right?
Yes.
Stick a cigarette in his mouth, you get the penguin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Ah! Okay. Only the penguin's more attractive.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And also, penguins are wonderful animals. And
yes.
Roger Stone is a horrible animal. So, yeah.
He's well, not a penguin.
Roger's a lot more slimier than them. So.
That's true. And and they live in the ocean. Yeah. So go figure.
Yeah.
But he will sit on an egg. Okay. No.
No. That's true. Here, a question.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think Stone is going to do? Stone was clearly the go-between or one of them between the Trump campaign and WikiLeaks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And WikiLeaks, as it turns out, was doing much business with the Russian military, correct?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. Mueller is trying to establish a clear chain with parts clearly delineated in the Trump campaign, WikiLeaks, Russian military, Russian government, and a lengthy pattern of cooperation between Russian government, Donald Trump, Donald Trump's campaign, and especially his former campaign manager, Mr. Manafort.
Yes.
Correct. Okay. So the idea that somehow this no collusion thing that we've heard about, that has, Mona, that's vanished at this point. Wouldn't you say the no collusion excuse has disappeared? And the idea that all of this is a nothing burger is about 25,000 calories a day of nothing burger.
Yeah. I mean, for logical people, yeah you're absolutely right. I mean, there are still diehard supporters of Trump who refuse to accept the reality of where we are. I mean, but the truth is,
this is where we are.
We're approaching the season finale.
How can they accept the truth? This guy this morning. He's Hillary, her emails.
He's back at that.
He's back at the emails.
Wow.
That's the insanity.
I love
that. Right? That's the
craziness. So he was tweeting about the emails.
Yes.
About
they need to be looked at. If anything comes from this Stone revelation, it's that Hillary did have emails that we still haven't gotten to the bottom of. This is his take on it.
Has Hillary said anything about that? No.
Oh, God.
No.
She shouldn't.
No, she has no interest in this whatsoever.
She's too busy wearing her, you know, her
pantsuit.
Her pantsuit.
Yeah, okay.
Looking sharp.
Looking sharp.
Yeah.
Looking boss. Okay, so you discussed Roger Stone.
Yeah.
And then I came on and we talked about this remarkable revelation that came from Forbes. Shall I or shall you?
Set it off.
Okay.
As you did with us.
Okay. Mona, I don't know if you know this or not. Okay.
Drop it.
Okay. Because it's hot.
Yeah.
Okay. Apparently, Donald Trump had never had any kind of interest in a border wall whatsoever until it was suggested to him to include this in speeches because it reminded people that they didn't like immigrants.
I am absolutely aware of that. It was a mnemonic device.
Yeah, mnemonic device. Mm-hmm. Okay. You've done some acting, and you are a comedian.
Yes, some acting, usually just in relationships.
Okay,
but yeah,
you know, that's the, no, I'm
just wanting, just pretending like you like the person, but you actually don't, but yeah.
Sure, I mean, you know, sort of like, you know, when you're vertical, you're doing that, when you're horizontal, you're faking, you know, I understand.
I have no idea what you're referring to.
Of course you don't. Okay. So, that being said, my poor board op is turning bright purple here. It's like the poor boy. You know,
I'm just thinking this is why I don't date comedians. Because, you know.
Yeah, I know. It is true. Where was I? Oh, yes. Mnemonic device.
Mm-hmm.
What is the longest set you've ever done as a stand-up, Mona?
Hour and a half.
You've done 90 minutes.
Yes.
Okay. How'd you remember all of it?
You do it for so long, it just becomes part of your repertoire. And you have a set list.
It's muscle memory.
It's
okay.
Muscle memory, yeah.
But on the issue of mnemonic devices, if you have a relatively new bit, let's say you've got 7 minutes that you're doing on, I don't know, on hoodies. Okay, so you're riffing on, because Tawala's wearing a hoodie, you're riffing on hoodies for 7 minutes. You just wrote it.
Yeah.
You really like it. You're trying it out.
Yeah.
Mnemonic device would mean that there would be certain words in the routine that you would highlight in your brain to make sure that you didn't forget those punchlines and setups.
That is absolutely correct.
Okay. So the mnemonic device that we are talking about as per the President of the United States is what exactly?
The wall.
The wall.
Yep.
And why was this his mnemonic device to remind people of
illegal immigrants.
That's correct.
That come over from Mexico and that's Central correct. America. Okay. So Roger Stone and others mm-hmm. invented the idea of a border wall so that in speeches, the president of the United States would remember to make immigration an issue because it was a winner with the people who liked Donald Trump.
Well, yeah. The reason the mnemonic device, they came up with the mnemonic device is because Roger Stone and his other political consultants would consistently have to remind him.
Right.
And he kept forgetting.
He kept forgetting.
So he was at one of the states, I forget which ones, and they said, we need you to go and just remember the wall. Just say the wall and let's see what the reaction is.
Right.
And he set the wall, and the crowd went nuts.
So all of a sudden,
and it
like,
registered
this thing,
for him.
This is a win.
They were like, "This is a win-win. This is the platform we're going to run on, and this is because look at the response we're getting on this."
So, in other words, politically speaking, to Walla, the tail wagged the dog. In this one, he tried something out, threw it out there, it went wild, and he's like, "All right, I'm running with this one."
But his whole campaign has been built on these. From lock her up, that was an easy one.
Right.
He came out there. What are we going to do? Lock her up. Yes. That's like, what kind of speech is that? Like, that's how you set it off? What are we going to do? Lock her up. No one knows what you're talking about. After a while, it became synonymous with Hillary.
Right.
It worked.
It worked.
And you go to the wall.
They like it. It sounds good. Lock her up has great rhythm.
Yes.
As an expression. It's a great chant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So the question is this, though. The federal government was shut down for 35 days.
Mm-hmm.
5 weeks, people worked without money, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Over a mnemonic device.
That's correct.
All right, Mona, am I completely, I mean, I'm insane for all kinds of reasons, okay, but am I crazy to wonder how on earth something as momentous as the destruction of the livelihood of nearly a million people is directly a result of a memory-triggering device thrown into a speech by a professional political consultant?
Well, it's more than that, right? I mean, look, if he doesn't keep his promise, that's the biggest promise he gave to his supporters. If he doesn't keep that promise, he loses his base. He knows that. He knows. He knows it. If he does not fulfill his promise, his supporters are going to be like, forget about you. I'm not voting for you in 2020. You did not keep your promise for the wall, right?
Wait a minute.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The wall as paid for by whom?
Right. So that's the thing, right? So now the problem here is that the supporters are the problem, you see. The problem is that the supporters are willing to constantly give this man benefit of the doubt, and it's terrifying because they have literally suspended their critical thinking. They've suspended their logic, and it's really worrisome. This man just comes out and he's like, look, I'm not, you know, they're just like, before he said it was Mexico. Well, he kind of didn't say it was Mexico. Well, indirectly, Mexico is paying for it because of the tariffs
and
all that.
He said they were going to write a check.
It's ridiculous.
I have actually argued with someone recently who said to me that using his emergency power to draft the wall, that's something that was his game plan all along.
I agree.
And I'm like, are you kidding me? So this was like all along. It was like, just wait. I'm gonna drop the emergency power on them, and I'm gonna do. He said that was the plan all along.
It was.
I'm baffled at that point. I'm like, there's no win. I can't talk to you anymore. There's no winning. This was never brought up ever. But now this was the plan all along. So this guy is a genius. I can't take it.
Mona, I have a question for you. Again.
That's straight out of Kremlin, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah. You like it?
Yeah.
You like that
one? Ice Cube ski.
Straight out of Kremlin.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I don't know. We come from Putin. He comes from Kremlin. We'll just talk a little bit. We'll talk a little Russian.
Can you? I defy you to do straight out of Kremlin parody of straight out of Compton word for word next time you come in here.
Oh, God.
We'll bring in a... Do you know anybody who does beats? We'll have somebody come in.
I got to find someone to get that instrumental.
But do I do it in a Russian accent?
Yes, you have
like,
to do it.
We do Russian accent.
Yes.
We do rap.
Or somewhat like malaria, you know, or whatever, you know.
Malaria?
Malaria Trump, yeah, malaria. The first lady.
Aw, that poor.
Okay.
She's not.
Yeah,
she's
sure not. She is.
I just wanted handpicks, and now I have to work.
Be best. Okay. I gotcha.
Be best bully.
Okay. question for you. And then I know we got a break. Question for you, Monique.
Did you just call me Monique?
I'm sorry.
I'm unique. It's fine. Monique, unique. It's fine.
No, no.
Johnny, I forgive
you're
you.
You're Mona Shake.
You appreciate that.
Okay. Okay. So where was I? God, this is exhausting. You got a comedian in the room will burn up three times as many calories. I swear.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, of course you don't. So, emergency. Okay. Mm-hmm. He invokes emergency powers.
Yes.
That means he's got to go to court. Mm-hmm. And justify. He's got to go. They will bring him to court. They go, there's no emergency. So there will have to be some kind of arbitration, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. A judge will say, I don't see anybody pouring over the border in great numbers. I understand what your people are telling you, but no, this is not true. In reality, in the last 20 years, migration's been going in the other direction. Mm-hmm. We know this.
Yeah.
Okay. There are about 35-40% fewer illegal immigrants in America than there were in 1999, correct?
Look, under the Obama administration, there were a lot of illegals that were deported.
Careful, we don't use illegals. Illegal immigrants
are undocumented. Illegal immigrants. Illegal immigrants.
We got to be careful.
Sorry. Illegal immigrants.
Thank you.
That were deported. Yes.
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 But a lot of them left because there was no work.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. So my issue here is this. You're invoking an emergency when there is clearly no emergency mm-hmm. whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
It means you're trying to circumvent Congress. Congress is going to vote to say, no, there's no emergency and you don't get any money.
Yes.
Okay. Now, I have seen Republican senators and congressmen saying, Mr. Trump does not need Congress. Yet Congress allocates funds. In reality, he very much needs Congress.
Right.
That's how it works. Now, you were talking about kings and dictators.
That's
before.
Correct.
Okay.
We were talking about the unitary executive.
The unitary executive.
Yes.
Okay. This would be maybe the finally what happens in America is that the people punch back and say, no, you're not a king. It's not an emergency. By decree, you do not get what you want. You are going to have to negotiate your wall like anybody else. We'll be back. That's why there's music playing.
Let's do it.
Southern California Live with Wendell, 821.
This is The Patriot, AM 1150.
Southern California Live with Wendell at 827. I'm going to do one of them 2.5-minute segments again because we went crazy in the last one.
It got passionate.
It got passionate. Tawala Sharp, Mona Shake, they're here. We're all rocking. It's insane. Tawala, did you discuss anything else on the show that was fun?
The KKK's rally that they're going to hold at Super Bowl next week at Stone Mountain. Dig that.
Wow.
They're trying to go to some of the blackest parts of Atlanta to hold a rally right before Super Bowl. We're like, please. Oh, here's the best part. They're doing it without their permit. They're like, damn your permits. Nothing's going to stop us from rallying. So that means they've got no cops, no escort, no nothing. Some of the blackest parts of Atlanta. Please.
The white burqa people.
Please.
Yeah, they're
trying to be out there with the robes and the hoods and the whole thing.
Right. Mm. Yeah, we
understand
trying
to go
that.
Full force.
Okay, now I have a question for you.
That's a lot of bleach on the clothes, huh?
Yeah, sure. Okay. You're going to need a lot of bleach on the clothes. There's going to be
some blood.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of blood.
Yeah.
I have a question for you. The Super Bowl this year is in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yes, sir.
Correct? Oof. The Patriots are playing the Rams. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's irrelevant to the story. The Ku Klux Klan wants to hold a rally how close to the Super Bowl itself?
Distance-wise, I'm not sure how far away from
the stadium
from the
Falcons stadium, playing.
Yeah, that,
right?
That Stone Mountain is.
Right.
The simple fact that they're going to Stone Mountain.
Okay.
Over nearabouts where the MLK, statue and they're trying to go there.
Let me see if I grasp this mm-hmm. entirely.
Yeah.
The likely turnout of Klansmen who are willing to risk their lives over this is not likely to be more than 2 or 3 dozen people in reality.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Let us remember the great big rally that they had on Boston Common.
Yeah.
For example, where they drew about 40 people and 25,000 counter protesters. And the Boston police told the neo-Nazis, they said, you're done at 10 minutes of the hour. At 9 minutes of the hour, our protection for you ends unless you leave. We'll escort you out. On the other hand, if you want to stay here and risk your lives, we're leaving. Just so you know, we're paid for this long. And frankly, the police may let the neo-Nazis know. If you get ripped from limb to limb because you went over, good.
Yeah. Hey, I just want to know, do these neo-Nazis order Mexican food?
Why is that?
Because you know they eat ethnic food. You know they do.
Sure.
You know they do.
Southern California Live with Wendell. We'll be back. Stay tuned. Yeah. You can dye your hip paint. Yeah, you could. You could do that too. Southern California Live with Wendell at 8:36. Mona's still with us.
Yeah.
She's taken a permanent residency. You know.
I brought a comforter and a pillow with me. So I'm sleeping here tonight.
Right. Oh, yeah. You know, there are 60,001 homeless people in Los Angeles. And
yeah.
Yeah.
This one showers.
Yeah.
Oh, hey.
Hey, okay. So
all right.
They're a deeper shade of homeless. So, we've been discussing the sociology and the pathology of American society in 2019. And I wanted to run this one by you. You know, just so you know, she has no idea of what I'm about to say, because up until a few minutes ago, I didn't either. One thing about this segment from the bottom of the second hour until the short segment is that it's and Phil and Juwan will back me up on this. It's always improvised. I don't think about it. It comes to me in the break, and then I just go. The other day I was driving to the Hollywood Y to work out from we live near downtown LA, so I was going up the 101 freeway, and it dawned on me that one of the biggest problems that we have in American politics, Mona, is that we have Uncle Ed the Abuser syndrome. Should I explain what that means?
Yes, please.
Okay. Everybody's got a favorite uncle or a favorite grandparent who comes to family functions, but generally it's an uncle or an aunt who makes fun of dad because he's dad's brother and he knows all dad's secrets and he ridicules dad, makes dad look ridiculous in front of the kids, or an aunt that makes mom look ridiculous because, you know, they shared secrets when they were little girls together and you want to know the 411 on your folks, basically.
Sure.
And that this uncle and this aunt, but anyway, Uncle Ed, he brings you stuff and he's funny and he's really loud and he's nuts.
Yeah. And he's not a molester, so that helps a lot.
Well, here's the thing. Word gets out that Uncle Ed's been arrested for something along those lines, say, for the sexual abuse of a child, say.
Yeah.
Your initial reaction is, it can't be because I love my Uncle Ed. Okay. And I suspect that's where we are in American politics. We're at my favorite Uncle Ed syndrome here, which is I won't believe anything about anybody who's in my tribe, who I'm aligned with. It doesn't matter if, like Uncle Ed, the accusations are incredibly serious. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and in order to get an indictment against an Uncle Ed or a Roger Stone, say, you have to have some evidence. You can't just go to a judge and go, like, the guy's an a-hole, Your Honor. Can we have a warrant for his arrest? Oh, hell yeah. I could tell by looking at him. He's wearing a green shirt. I hate people like that. You know, it doesn't work like that. So it's like,
there's a special counsel dedicated to
this. Yeah. So what I wanted to ask you is this. How do we in America get over the, you know, Uncle Ed the Abuser syndrome? How do we end this thing? How do we crawl out from under this thing?
You know, I think that's a human question. I don't even think it's an American question.
Sure, but I'm an American.
It is a global, right? It's an American.
But I'm an American. I live in America.
Right.
Okay.
So I feel this.
Can I add a proviso too?
Yes, sure.
Not only am I an American, I'm an American who lives in a coastal city that is not like a great deal of the rest of America. Los Angeles is not like the rest of
America.
That's
correct. I agree with you on that.
Okay,
right?
So go ahead.
So as an American, and human and someone who, you know, grew up in another country and then came to this country as an immigrant.
Right.
I think this kind of global perspective of what I've observed.
Right.
Is that fear is a very powerful drive.
It sure is.
It is very, very powerful. And when people in positions of authority come and validate your fears, whether they are true or not.
Or exploit your fears.
Or exploit your fears, right? They exploit your fears by verbalizing them.
Sure.
In order to validate them and, you know, to say, hey, this is a thing that you fear this.
They
you know what?
Them,
this is a
They make
thing.
Them a visual mnemonic device.
Right. Make it a visual words, mnemonic device.
They personify it.
Personify it.
Yeah, okay.
That is so powerful because you're willing to overlook and override a lot of things, right?
Right.
It's like this. If you don't know how to swim.
Right.
And you jump in a pool thinking that the pool wasn't that deep.
Right.
But then you start drowning.
Right.
Your initial thing is, your initial thought is, I'm going to start trying to, you panic and you start trying to.
Dog paddle
and try to pull you. But the more you panic, the more you sink.
Right.
Right? So the fear is working against your best interest.
Right.
Right? And I feel like that is what's happening in America.
Your fear makes you forget the training that you undertook from your swimming instructor.
It does that, absolutely. Fear overtakes your critical thinking.
Right.
It overtakes your logic because you're so driven on such an animalistic level.
Right.
Your reptilian brain is so in full force.
Right.
That somehow that other side, this evolutionary side of you, somehow just it gets dismissed.
It vanishes. It's why military training is so thorough in order to change people's perspective about the dangers that they face. That's why military training is so rigorous and so careful.
That is correct.
Is you have to somehow convince people to charge into fire.
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct.
That runs contrary to human survival instincts.
That is correct.
Okay. So if you take that paradigm into politics, how do you get people to charge into fire?
Yes.
Is what I'm asking you, because is for them to embrace their fear to the point where they are willing to go to the ends of the earth in such ways that will damage them.
Yes. You know what happens? You have other people in positions of power or leader who step up and say, let me show you that this fear is not real.
Yeah.
This fear that you're seeing or you're experiencing or whatever perception you've put on this is not real.
It goes back to the famous Roosevelt dictum. The only thing you fear is fear itself.
Yeah. I 100% agree with that.
Right.
I feel like what has happened now with the election of 117 different new, the freshmen, the new Congress people that has come in, that is going to help change a lot of perceptions. That's going to help overcome a lot of those fears because those people are not like the ones that were there before.
Well, let me ask you something. Doesn't this somewhat go back to the idea of the reflexive versus the real? For example, in California, in the Central Valley of California, is very red. It's very conservative, true?
Yes.
That's where Kevin McCarthy is. It's where Devin Nunes is.
Yes.
The what's left of the Republican Party goes up the I-99.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, pretty much. Okay, so the question is this. If undocumented immigrants are booted out of California in large numbers.
Yes.
The industries that fuel that part of California are destroyed. Am I correct?
You're absolutely 100,000,000% correct.
Okay. So people are actively seeking to damage their own self-interest by doing this.
That is
correct. Explain to me how this is no different from refusing to believe that your Uncle Ed, who you love and adore, has destroyed your family's life. It's the same thing. It's Uncle Ed syndrome, only it's turned into a business proposition now.
Well, if you were 10 years old when Uncle Ed was coming around and telling you all those secrets.
Right.
And then by the time you turn 15 and you learn of these accusations
right.
of Uncle Ed,
yeah.
you are no longer 10. There's a level of maturity that came in those 5 years that you you're beginning to understand some things that you didn't understand at 10 years old.
Also, the family, which would have walled you off by saying these are all bad accusations,
yes.
they're all wrong, they're all terrible and all that stuff, and, you know, your mom does this, your dad does this, your grandparents do this.
Sure.
All it will take is a nephew or a cousin going, yeah, man, it's true. It's actually true. Because all it takes is one to permeate. I mean, we have, for example, in America, we have an enormous example of this with the Catholic Church,
yeah.
for example. And people will ask me, they'll go, Johnny, you know, this has been going on for 35, 40 years now. One archdiocese after another is getting the crap sued out of them.
Yes.
In Pennsylvania, they uncovered, 300 more
yes.
of these
yes.
recently. And
money talks.
Yeah, money talks. And I go, Johnny, how did this happen? And I go back to that same paradigm. Your Uncle Ed was a riot to be around. He was so
yes.
much fun. When you went to church, it was big and mysterious
yes.
and wonderful. And you remember midnight mass, and you remember Christmas, and you remember
sure.
how beautiful it was, especially when the mass was in Latin and how amazing it was. Now, you're Muslim, right?
Yes. Yes,
okay.
I am.
There's a certain...
I've been to Greek churches.
Yeah, I know.
Listen to the Greek sermon.
That's not where I'm going with
yeah,
this.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a certain amazing mystique mm-hmm. when you see hundreds of people
yes.
facing Mecca
that's correct.
And chanting all at the same time.
Well, I performed the Holy Pilgrimage, so
yeah.
I know exactly what you're referring
yeah.
to. Right. There's this mysteriousness. There's this energy that pulls you in.
Sure.
Right? That you are, you know, you are in the presence of something way greater than you are.
So... You know, it gives you it gives you a good feeling,
yes.
you know, so that you, when people say, well, you know, in Madrasas, they kind of teach you to go out
that's
and
correct.
Kill folks, and
that's
it's
correct.
Really, it's, they're kind of awful.
That's
oh,
correct.
No, they can't be, because I've done a pilgrimage, and it's one, I've,
that's
a
correct.
Hajj.
That's
yeah,
correct.
I've done the Hajj, so it's awesome.
That's correct.
You know, you're wrong, I won't believe you.
That is correct.
And that's the gist of what's so screwed up about people. It's like, no. Proof is
proof. It's the same people, by the way.
Yeah.
They're the same people.
Yeah,
just different skin.
Proof is proof.
At the end of the day,
yeah.
anyone who is willing to put themselves in a position or wants to put themselves in a position of complete control,
right.
you need to question that. What are they hiding and what are they up to?
If somebody says to you, only I can fix this.
You don't want to be around
only
that.
I have the solution to this. You want to know what's really hilarious is years ago I was having a conversation with one of the directors of Council for American Islamic Relations.
Yeah.
Okay. And he said, you know, I grew up in Syria. And he said, I turn on Fox News and I'm watching it and he just started howling. His wife says, what's so funny? And he goes, this is exactly like state-run Syrian
That's
television.
That's exactly what it is.
You know, when Assad's dad was in power.
Sure.
Before they got out of Syria, you know, by the skin of their teeth. They were
sure.
like, we don't want to live under this insanity anymore.
Sure.
You know, so he just said, it's insane. The same bright graphics, the same surety, the same beautiful newscasters
yes.
and stuff. And they're all incredibly well-dressed. He said, John, it's the same damn thing. It's so bizarre.
That is correct.
You
That's
know,
exactly.
And
you and I were talking about this, right? When during the break, you and I were talking about. Well, I was talking about how you know this mentality that I for the longest time thought that dictators only existed in the Middle East, and
no,
South
they
Asia.
Exist everywhere.
There are white dictators out here, people, and I only learned that it only sunk into me recently when I watched the movie Vice.
Or you'd never heard of Adolf Hitler or Benito Mussolini.
Well, that too.
Francisco Franco.
Well, that too. But then you know we thought we had left that in the past.
No, human beings are still human beings.
Yes, they are.
Let's finish up with a little Mona promotion when we come back.
Up in her room.
Southern California Live. We wrap up this episode of the Mona Shake Show.
Is that what it is now?
Well, yeah, no. It's,
well,
it's,
I did bring my comforter and everything.
Yeah, it's true.
And I did do a lot of load shedding here.
Yeah,
today.
That's true. You load shedded to the max. It was fantastic.
It was awesome.
Mona Shake is a political activist and comedian who can be seen live and in person where?
few places. If you want to learn all about all my dates, you can go to monashaikh.com, which is MonaShaikh. Oh, Johnny, I saw you. Okay, monashaikh.com.
I've been to monashaikh.com.
You can go there. Of course, I have my show coming up, Minority Reports, next Wednesday, January 30th. We have a few tickets left at the door that you can buy. For those, for that, you can go to minorityreports.com. But I also have a show coming up at Hollywood Improv. That's going to be exciting on February 6th. And then there's a whole bunch of stuff coming up. So
okay.
This was a lot of fun today, by the way. Thank you for having me.
You told us earlier that the longest set you ever did was 90 minutes. Do you remember where that was?
Yeah, it was in Dubai.
It was in Dubai?
Yeah, they flew me out to Dubai.
It was a corporate gig?
It was not a corporate gig. It was a comedy club in Dubai who flew me out. They saw me perform at a Laugh Factory.
What was it called? Hot Laughs or something like that, or Scalding Funnies?
It was called Laugh Habibi.
Okay, Laugh
That's Habibi. Not what it was called. No, okay. It's called a Real Flavor Comedy Club. That's
Flavor?
Flavor with an A at the end.
Oh, like so everybody had to wear
not the
little,
O-R.
They didn't wear like a clock around your neck to get in?
Yeah, you just had to have grill and, you know,
you're right.
Just be really unattractive.
And say boy or they wouldn't let you in.
Yeah, exactly.
And date Bridget Nielsen.
Yeah,
okay. All right, so go ahead.
Yeah, she's been around the block a few times.
She is the block. Go ahead.
I did an hour and a half of that was 90 minutes. Yeah, because you have to understand 90 minutes is not just material. You know, there's a lot of crowd work that goes on too.
Oh,
so I did about 30 minutes of crowd work.
Oh,
you know what that is? I don't know if the listeners know what the crowd work is. Crowd work is when
aerobics.
Comedians go up. That's aerobics is aerobics.
Okay.
Crowd work is basically comedians interacting with the audience and just talking to the audience and, finding just improving things of what's coming out of the audience's mouth and making hilarious observations and making jokes about it.
Okay. When I have a kind of a thing when comedians get into it with hecklers and stuff, this is not the same thing, though.
This is not the same thing. No.
No, okay.
Heckle, this is the comedian choosing to speak to the audience versus the audience choosing to speak
to the comedian.
Right, and not speak, heckling.
I could never understand the psychology of heckling because it's like when you are yelling at a comedian, you're yelling at someone who's an expert at language, who has response time and the PA. Okay,
yes.
So they can turn whatever you said into anything.
That is correct.
That's insanity.
Yes.
That's the definition of insanity.
Yes, 100%. I think, you know, a lot of times, like, whatever hecklers I've ever experienced is people just trying to get attention. Either they're drunk.
Right.
Trying to get attention, or they're just trying to prove something that they missed out on a few hugs, and now they want the love.
Great. Ma didn't breastfeed them, so they yell at a comedian. Mona, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me. This was awesome.
Southern California Live with Wendell. It's 9. See you.